This is a congregation that loves to sing. And we have a wide range of music to choose from, a wide musical menu, and from the simple 19th century camp meeting song that we sang drinking at the fountain to the majestic "And Can It Be" or "How Great Thou Art" to the song that David sang just now. And I'm going to ask you to do something as an experiment for yourself, if you haven't already been doing it. And that is, in the future, as we sing these songs, think, what truth is this song describing? What Christian experience is it telling of? What great doctrine is it celebrating? For all of these songs have a message. What is the message of this song? And take it to our heart. Music has always had a place in Christian worship over the centuries, and in Judaism before then, for the Book of Psalms is Israel's hymnal. And it was said, has been said, that Charles Wesley's hymns did more to spread the great evangelical revival of the late 18th and early 19th century than all of John Wesley's sermons. Partly this is because we sing these songs repeatedly and their message is impressed upon us. Some of the earlier Christian music sounds very strange to us because it was composed on different scale systems and in different timing than we're used to. But it's that music served them the same as it does with us, with an emotional and spiritual experience and strengthening. Even the early Christians, the earliest, sang hymns, our Lord giving us an example, for we read in the Gospel that after they had finished the Passover feast, he had instituted the Lord's Supper. We read in the Gospel, they sang an hymn and went out to Gethsemane. And we know what hymn they sang. It was the closing hymn of the Passover ritual, the 22nd Psalm, that tells so much about the sufferings of Christ. I would like to have those early Christian hymns and the music, but that was not a very high priority for them in the Holy Spirit's list, so he didn't preserve them to us. But there is a very ancient Christian hymn going back at least to the second century that is a part of the Easter service of the Greek church to this day. And its message is clear. Christ is risen from among the dead. By death, he conquered death and placed his foot upon its neck and graciously imparted life to those in tombs, referring to those who were raised when Christ died on the cross. Perhaps we should not be surprised then that the Apostle Paul, who was so widely read, so widely educated, should quote some Christian hymns, and there are two of them in his writings from which he quoted. One that I would like to direct your attention to this evening is in the fifth chapter of his letter to the Philippians. And we will begin reading with the 13th verse. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whosoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. For many years, I tried to find the scripture that he was quoting. What?
You say Philippians 5?
No, Ephesians. I'm sorry. And I tried to find the quotation. In my Bible, I've underlined and read all of the quotations from the Old Testament that I could find, and I never was able to find it. But I have read after several different scholars, and all of them conclude that this is not a quotation from Scripture. It's a quotation from an early Christian hymn. And examining these three lines in the Greek text, they are poetry. They have rhyme, they have meter. And Paul was quoting here from a hymn to make his point. It was a hymn that had deepest meaning. And it says, Wherefore he, or rather it, says, Awake, O thou sleeper, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. A more direct quotation from the Greek is more, shall we say, drastic or radical. He says, Awake, O thou sleeper, and arise from among the corpses, and Christ will enlighten you. Now, when studying different passages of Scripture, I often like to try to ask questions of the text to see what answers will come forth. And I'd like to ask several questions of this text tonight. Who is asleep? Why is he asleep? And why is he asleep? Is he sleeping where he is? Who ever heard of sleeping in a morgue? Would you like to sleep in a morgue among the corpses? Because that is what the Greek word means, the corpses. And then lastly, how will Christ enlighten him? This is a call to an individual. Awake, O thou sleeper. But it is aimed at a general audience, very much like some of our hymns. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou wander? Or Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, addressed to individuals, but meant for any individual for whom it would fit. Awake, thou sleeper. It's a personal call. But why is he asleep? What is he doing asleep? And why does he need to be awakened? What is the point of awakening him when he's sleeping? And then, and arise from among the corpses. Why would he sleep among the corpses? Well, obviously, this, as most poetry, most hymns are, is a figurative statement, and it is addressed to Christians in general, but to each as individually to heed the call, because he contrasts here light and darkness in the preceding context. He contrasts here sleeping and awaking, and he contrasts sleeping and dead. And he's not talking, this is not singing about a physical situation. It's a Christian here who is sleeping. And what is the significance of that, that he is asleep? Well, when you're asleep, you are unaware of what is going on around you. You are unaware of what is happening. And you're unaware of any opportunities that there might be. And you are uninvolved in the matters going on around you. You are, shall we say, out of the loop. And so this is a call to Christians who are asleep, who are unaware of danger, who are unaware of opportunities, who are, well, they are spiritually sleeping. And in spiritually sleeping, they are no more active than the corpses that they're sleeping among. Another question, who are the corpses? Well, Paul speaks of those who are dead in trespasses and sins. He's speaking of the non-believers here. Sleeping, unaware of what's going on, uninvolved, unaware of danger, among the people of the world. Does that not describe most Christians today? They, biblically speaking, they have no idea what's going on. They don't even know the Bible to know what is going on. And as Jesus said of the unbelieving Jews to whom he spoke, they have no idea about the signs of the times, what time it is. When you're asleep, you don't know what time it is. And sometimes when you wake up, it's, oh my, I'm late. So this little piece snatched from this hymn here is a warning to Christians not to slumber, not to sleep. In another place, Paul said, they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that are drunken in the night. They are out of the loop. So why would a Christian be sleeping when he shouldn't be sleeping? Why indeed? Well, there are many possible reasons for it. Weariness is one thing. Have you ever been so weary you couldn't think? And you're not alert, and it's easy to drift off to sleep. And sometimes sleep is an escape from reality. Or there are many different reasons why we can fall asleep. And there are many different reasons why a Christian should be a sleeping Christian, unaware of the time, unaware that, as Paul said in another place, the hour is late. And another thing is associations, sleeping among the corpses, too close associations with unbelievers. This is not to say we shouldn't associate with unbelievers, because how else can they know the gospel? But to build one's life apart from the family of God, to build one's life in close association with unbelievers, draws one away from spiritual awareness and into a spiritual sleep. Also, living only for oneself, centering one's life on me and mine. Years ago, a brother said to me, "God gave me my money, and I think he expects me to enjoy it." Hardly a Christian's attitude, wouldn't you say? Living to ourself, isolating ourself from others. That's why we're told in the book of Hebrews to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, to become involved in the life of others. In every congregation, even of this size, there are many people who have many needs. There are many people who have many heartaches that you don't know about unless you know them, unless you get to know them. One of the reasons to gather together, as we're urged to do in the book of Hebrews, is not only to find help for ourselves, but that's a very good reason, but to be a help to others, to be awake, to be aware of what's going on, to be aware of the problems, the hurts, the hopes, and the aspirations and disappointments of others. There is a common expression: there is in unity, there is strength. Strength for ourselves and strength to give unto others. So that is why this sleeper is challenged to awake out of sleeping. He's sleeping at an inappropriate time, and he's uninvolved, living to himself. But why would he want to sleep among the dead when he could be awake among his own spiritual family? This is indeed a challenge. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from among the corpses. Get out of the morgue and the inappropriate associations of life. Get ready for the day. I don't know about you, but I'm not a morning people. And I don't leap out of bed with joy and anticipation for the day. Now, some of you do, I'm sure. But spiritually speaking, we can all of us be early risers. We can be awake and ready for the day. Get dressed for the day. As the apostle said in another place, put off the old man, the garments of the old life, the garments of the nighttime sleeping in appropriate times. Put on the new man. Get dressed for the day and get ready. And you will find there is work to be done. There is work for every one of us to be done. But sometimes it's so insignificant. Sometimes it doesn't seem to amount to much. Little kindnesses to other people, to the unbelievers, but especially unto believers. And nothing is too insignificant or too important for a Christian to be about. Some of the most insignificant kindnesses have some of the greatest of impact on a life. I remember when I first started traveling as a sales representative on the road, I was wet behind the ears and green as could be and didn't really know what I was doing. But on one of my earliest calls was to a very important customer. And I was delayed on my schedule, arrived a day late. And so I thought, well, the least I can do is to call him and tell him I'm sorry I'm late. So I called him on the telephone and told him, I'm sorry I missed you yesterday. I'll try to be on time next week. And he says, well, do you have some time now? And I says, yes. And he says, well, I'll be right down and open up for you. Very much of my success on the road, I attribute to that man. His kindness. He was kind. And he helped me a great deal. The most insignificant acts can be a part of our tasks for our day in this life. There is work for us to be done if we are awake and if we are aware of it. Awake, O sleeper, arise from among the dead, and Christ will enlighten you. The King James says he will shine upon you. The shine, the sunshine of his favor will warm your heart and your life when you turn your attention to him. And he will enlighten the understanding of the mind and of the heart. He will cheer the emotions. He will give us perception into what is important, what isn't, and into the meaning of the things that occur to us in our life. He will cause us to be aware of what is going on around us, because it is later than we think. It is later than we think in dispensationally in this age. And it is oftentimes later than we think in our lives. And after all, the longest life is short. He will give us an understanding of God's will. This is the greatest of the enlightenment that we can have. To understand God's will from this book, because he does tell us what his will is. He'll give us an understanding of his will for our life, making this book real in our life, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to guide us and into enlighten us. And Christ will enlighten thee. To understand the Christian life, the Christian task, and God's will for this day, for our own particular lives. So, it's daytime. The hour is late. It is time to awake out of sleep, as Paul said in Romans, and to arise and to get dressed for the day. And he goes on to enlarge upon this after this quotation. See that you walk circumspectly. That means watch your step. That means be observant. See that you walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. In thoughtless moments, we can do very foolish things. So let us be observant as wise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. And we can indeed understand the will of the Lord. And he says, speaking unto yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, perhaps like the one he just quoted from. But not only understanding God's will, obeying his will. Because if we don't understand the will of God that we understand from this book, we will never understand the will of God by the leading of the Holy Spirit. The one comes before the other. Then he will reveal his personal will to us. He will give us personal guidance, redeeming the time, he said, because the days are evil. To redeem the time means to make good use of time. Don't waste time. Spend time. When you spend your money, you get something in return. When you spend your time, not only do you do well for others, you received in due measure for oneself. So redeem the time. Make good use of the time. Don't waste it. Spend it. For time is a most precious asset that we have. The time is early yet. It is not too late now. We can gather around the altar and have a time of prayer before going out into that world where all the corpses are. So let us rise and come and worship the Lord.